The title of my sermon is Slaves of a Different Master. Slaves of a Different Master. I couldn't help but think of Juneteenth. You know, that's the Independence Day for the African American community, right? It was the end of slavery back in 1863, and we were finally free to live as everybody else. And so, obviously, every year now, one day during the year, they celebrate Juneteenth. So when we look at the book of Romans, Romans chapter 6, it does deal with slavery. Paul talks about slavery, and it was an institution of his time. And when you read the book of Romans, you find that here Paul is in prison, and he's with a slave by the name of Onesimus. And Onesimus has been there. He had been a slave of Philemon. And Paul took the opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with him. And obviously, Onesimus heard the gospel, changed his life. And so when he finally got released from prison and he was being sent back to his owner or his master, Paul said to Philemon, now you get him back as more than a slave. He is a brother, a Christian. You might remember that Paul, he likes to give all kinds of advice in his letters. Whenever you would write a letter, there would be lots of advice, such as, husbands, give your lives to your wives, and wives, give yourselves to your husbands, and children, obey your parents. And slaves, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling. We know that Paul was a preacher and he went all over the countryside. And the one thing that he was not able to reform was the whole institution like slavery. And slavery was such a big thing back then. It was really the backbone of the Roman Empire. And slavery to us nowadays sounds rather strange and repulsive. But back then, it was really a part of their life and their culture. To see slavery as an image or a picture of some of the fundamental relationships in life. What's interesting is when you come to the end of Paul's letter in Romans, he ends his letter by saying this, Paul, a slave of Jesus Christ. Paul, a slave of Jesus Christ. That word slave, when you study the Greek, means doulos. It can be slave or it can mean servant. And I can remember when I was a junior in seminary, we had to go and do a whole year internship. And I had a real good friend of mine. He ended up in Chicago, and his whole congregation was African American. And guess what? He was the only white guy. And he had to preach on this text. And he got up and he looked at this crowd of people and he goes, ooh, I don't know how they're going to react to this text. So on the fly, he said, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. Well, after he was done preaching at the end of the service, one of his African-American brothers came to him and said, you know, when you were reading the text, I was reading it in my own Bible, and you changed the word. My friend was like, I didn't want to offend you. It can mean servant or it can mean slave, yes, you're right, I changed the word. And the black man said to him, he said, you know, Paul himself was a slave. And if you're going to belong to anyone, you ought to belong to Jesus. He is a tough master, but he is more than fair. And if you belong to Jesus, no one else can have a piece of you. I tell you what, that just changed the trajectory of my friend's ministry. He's right. Paul believes that he has a master. In fact, if you listen to the whole passage of Romans 6, Paul believes that everyone has a master. somebody owns us. That sounds kind of strange for people like us. You know, in a few more days, we're going to be celebrating the 4th of July, right? Independence Day. We like that as Americans, right? We are free over 200 and some years from British rule. And we like to really let the world know that we are free. When you come to America, you are free. I am free. I am my own person. I don't need anybody else. I can be an island unto myself. That's what a lot of people want. They really want that independence. Now, when I was about 15 years of age, I was watching the Miss America pageant. How many of you have watched the Miss America pageant over the years? I was really watching it for the good speeches. Well, maybe not. But I had this girl by the name of Debbie, and she was sitting next to me. And she pointed out and she said, "Watch that one. She's going to win." I looked at Debbie, I go, "How do you know that?" It's because she gave a really good speech about being her own person. And as fate would have it, that person won. Debbie was right. Our culture is kind of that John Wayne culture, don't you think? We like to believe in all that stuff, that we are free to do whatever we want, go wherever we wish, buy whatever we desire. Meanwhile, there are a lot of people telling us what to do, where to go, what to buy. We think we're free, but what we're really doing is merely accepting someone else's advice. I have a real good friend of mine that started an ice cream shop in Baraboo, Wisconsin. So if you ever go there, it's called the Tin Roof. It's like the awesome, most, it's like you're stepping back in time because they got the soda jerks, right? And they got the old time ice cream. I mean, it's just great. And I said to him, I go, "Hey, what kind of clients are you getting?" He goes, "Well, most of my clients are teenagers. You know, teenagers, they all kind of cluster together. And when they cluster together, they're all trying to think for themselves and they try to fit in. And if you ask them what they really want in life, they'll tell you independence and freedom. But then when you look at them, they're all wearing the same jeans, the same shirt, and the guys are usually driving the old man's car, right? So obviously they're being persuaded that if you want to fit in and not be a geek, you got to go to Gap, and that's where you buy your clothes. You see, Paul is right. Even in the land of freedom and liberty, somebody has shackled us in chains, whether we want to admit it or not. The question I have for you this evening is, who's yanking your chain? Who's yanking your chain? Some people are slaves to shopping, right? Man, there's always good deals out there, even though their closets are packed with shoes and clothes, right? You just got to have it. Some people are slaves to cholesterol. I've never met a donut or a piece of bacon that I don't like. Some people are slaves to their jobs. They really don't like their job, but they're being paid pretty well, and so they're not going to quit. And so they go to work in golden handcuffs. Some corporations are slaves to greed. It's always about the bottom line, and if we don't make the bottom line, people are getting laid off. I have a friend who is a slave to Budweiser. Yep, if he doesn't have a drink in his system, he says his body doesn't feel right. He admits that he's embarrassed about it, and he really should be. He has smashed up countless cars. He's lost jobs. He's lost friends. He's lost most of his family. So So who's yanking your chain? C.S. Lewis he's written all kinds of great stuff. And he talks about this in The Great Divorce in this book. He said there's a scene, and it's about a woman, and she's solid, and her husband is kind of a shadow person, and her husband is a little bit shorter, but next to her husband is this big shadow, and he's got this chain running all the way down to her husband. And every time his wife asks a question, the short man yanks the chain, and the tall ghost speaks for him. He's always speaking large, self-important tones as if he has a reputation to maintain. She tells him that she loves him, and he yanks the chain so that the big, tall actor can respond. Finally, the wife gets so upset. She says, "Frank, Frank, look at me. Look at me. What are you doing with that great, big, ugly doll? Let go of the chain. Send it away. It is you that I want. Don't you see that nonsense is talking? Who's yanking your chain?" Remember years ago, Bob Dylan. Anybody like Bob Dylan music? Yeah. You know, he's a Jewish guy. He was on the road, and all of a sudden he was having this spiritual experience, and he was becoming a Christian, and he decided to write some Christian music, and he hired a separate band, and they went out to play, and one of the songs, it goes like this. You gotta serve somebody. You gotta serve somebody. It may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you gotta serve somebody. Right? Pretty inspirational, right? Well, one night, he went on stage and he began to play this song, and he started getting booed. And the more he played, the more he got booed. And finally, he just couldn't stand it, and he walked off stage. Afterward, one of the concert goers said, "You know, I didn't come to hear that kind of bologna. I'm free. I don't serve anyone but myself." Believe me, friends, there is no greater slavery than serving yourself. Paul says that he is a slave of Jesus Christ. Yes, Paul, he struggles with his own urges, just like anyone else. But he knows in his gut that no good can come listening to just himself. He is bound to a greater purpose than following his nose or listening to his stomach. You see, Paul says that he belongs to Jesus Christ. And that is his identity, and that's what gives him purpose in his life. Oh, as Lutherans, we talk about sin, right? All the time. Because it's so persuasive that it can take and twist the best impulses and make it foul. And there are so many kinds of sin that work on us and bind us, that it's hard for us to get free from it all. But in our gospel, it is possible. It is possible. Last Sunday at Trinity Lutheran, we baptized a little girl by the name of Ruth. I call her Baby Ruth. And matter of fact, I gave out all these little Baby Ruth bars to everybody in the church. But when we baptized her, we're not doing it because it's a fashionable thing to do, or it's a rite of passage, or it's culturally sanctioned. And we weren't announcing that here's a little child who from this day forth will be your own person. No. No, what we were saying when we were baptizing Baby Ruth is God has one more child because she, before she even knows it, she belongs to God through Jesus Christ. And the congregation made this promise. From this day forward, we will do whatever it takes to nurture her into her new identity as a child of God. Just like any other child, we're going to give her something important to think about. We're going to tell her how much she's loved. We're going to teach her the story of Jesus, in which that's part of her story now. And we all know that that day will come when she will look at her parents and she will say, "Mom, I don't want to go to church." Any of you ever say that? Anybody ever have your kids say that to you? Even pastors. Right? She's not here, so she can't defend herself. We can laugh about it, but most of us have said that sometime or another. And there's a lot of things in the church that seem to be kind of a form of imprisonment for a child or even an adult. I remember going to my first call in North Dakota, and this guy looked at me and he goes, "Hey, Pastor, how many years do I have to serve on church council? I've been doing it for 42 years. Whoa. Yeah, there's a lot of things in church that seem like slavery. You know, we come here and we pray for forgiveness. And somebody tells us, like the pastor, that your sins are forgiven by God. And then we look across the aisle and we see somebody that we'd rather not spend much time with. And even though we prayed, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us," we might even think, "But I'm not going to forgive that person." But we've said those prayers, and we are bound to those words. We need to forgive one another. And there are some things we learn through church that feel like a burden. We get to know somebody and we discover that they're hurting. And we don't know quite what to do. It would be a lot easier for us to slip away and just ignore them. But we can't do that, because we are bound together through Christ, even when we'd rather go our own way. There are some occasions when the church decides to do something that seems like a little radical, like maybe a mission church sponsoring a missionary. And the first thing we think is, "Whoa, we can't afford that." But we know it's the right thing to do. And we are bound to do the work of justice and new beginnings. We need to stretch ourselves. And there are a lot of times when it would be easier just to do our own thing, to play it safe, to back away, to retreat to where it's comfortable. Then we come to church and we remember that we are bound to Jesus Christ. Not only that, he is bound himself to you and I, and we are never free from him. The good news, of course, is that in this kind of bondage, there is great freedom, right? Freedom from sin, freedom from death, freedom from the power of the devil, freedom to love and serve God with all of our God-given gifts, our heart, our mind, and our soul, all for the glory of God. Amen. I invite you to please join with me as we sing the hymn of the day.
Spread, oh, spread all my dear word, spread the rain of God.
invite you to please rise and let us confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Gracious Father, your Son prayed that we may be one in your name. We thank you for your Son who makes us one. Help us to receive and keep your word, that we would work diligently to be one in spirit and of one mind with Christ. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord God of the Sabbath, as you rested on the seventh day, you hallow our times of rest as well. Be present with your people as they travel in these summer days. Keep them safe from harm and accident. Refresh them in their playtime and open their eyes to the wonders of your good creation. Bring travelers safely home, renewed in joy and zeal for you. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We give thanks to you for the vocations you grant to all your people. Keep safe from harm and danger those whose work is dangerous. We hold before you in prayer those who have answered the call to military service, that at the completion of their work, they may return home safely. Be present with families who wait and watch for their homecoming. Lord, in your mercy,
Hear our prayer.
God of mercy, you are slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. Restore our cities, towns, and rural communities. Use us to build houses for the homeless, give bread to the hungry, cover the naked, comfort the grieving, and give care to those suffering in body, mind, or spirit, especially those we name now, either silently or aloud. May we serve as instruments of your saving gospel. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us share God's peace with one another. You may be seated as we collect our offering. Thank you. invite you to please rise.
The vineyards be fruitful, Lord, and fill to the brim our cup of blessing. Gather a harvest from the seeds that were sown, that we may be fed with the bread of life. Gather the hopes and dreams of all, unite them with the prayers we offer now at our table with your presence, Lord, and give us a foretaste of the feast to come.
Let us pray. Merciful God, we offer with joy and thanksgiving what you have first given us, ourselves, our time, and our possessions, signs of your gracious love. Receive them for the sake of him who offered himself for us, Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Let us join as we pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Amen.
You see the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace. I say this in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The closing hymn is On Our Way Rejoicing. Peace, serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.